Hello and welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Louis Prejean. I am joined by the Vermillion sports writer, Charles Long.
It's NBA All-Star Weekend, Louis.
It's also my birthday weekend, but who cares?
It is also
who cares
Lewis's
about that?
Birthday weekend.
It's NBA All-Star Weekend, apparently.
Happy
not my
early
birthday weekend. I totally fish for people telling me happy birthday. All disclosure.
And we do it anyways.
And we do it.
Because we're good friends.
I mean, I just appreciate y'all. We're also here with Justin Vlasic.
Hey, I'm ready for All-Star and Lewis's birthday.
No, okay, well,
really happened.
No, you don't have to lie. You know, you don't have to lie. That's all I'm saying. So, my birthday is this weekend. Let's talk about that. No, I'm joking. Let's talk about All-Star Weekend. We're going to do that in this edition of the Vermillion Sports Show. No special number yet, right?
Oh, episode 109.
I don't actually know.
109?
109. I've been keeping track.
That's two episodes. It's 111.
Who wore 99? Oh, 109.
No one I know.
No one? Has anyone in sports history wore 109?
A three-digit jersey?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's done it. Three-digit? Is there? Oh, I wonder if there's ever been a three-digit jersey. No.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
I should make a customized jersey. You know how people do that? Put their name on the back of their team's favorite jersey?
Uh-huh.
I should put a triple-digit number on it.
What would be your triple-digit number?
Like, well, I'll make one every week for the show.
Oh.
You know, so next week I'll customize a jersey and it'll be 110. And then the week after that will be a 111.
That's a lot of money that you want to spend for that.
Sponsorships, baby. Sponsorships. Great Value Water. That's what pays for it.
And Disney.
And
Disney Plus. Disney Plus.
Yeah, shout out to Disney Plus for that. We also have questions that
we do.
People have sent in to us. One might be hurtful to Charlie. Another one I don't know because Charlie doesn't want to give us the question.
You want me to start off with that one?
When we get to it, yeah.
Okay.
We can
end
do that. Oh, you think we should end on that one, Justin?
Charlie hit us with that bomb 2 weeks ago. That was a really good question that he kept from.
This isn't as fun of a question. It's more of like a kind of interesting question about what one team may do in the NFL draft. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm interested now. That's a tease, though. Mm-hmm. We'll get to your questions. We got to talk All-Star Weekend questions. We got to talk the Pelicans because the Pelicans are good. Zion's good. Pelicans are great.
They're great.
Great.
Yep.
When they're not turning the ball over.
When they're not turning the ball over. But I think they're, 19-9 in their last 28 games? I'm all about it. I'm having so much fun watching this team.
Me too.
Their game against the Trailblazers last night was one of my favorite games I'll watch this season. That third quarter. Oh, my goodness. We'll talk about that later, though.
Okay. Well, this is our obligatory. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. So we will not know the results of the Thunder game, but Justin already knows the results of the Thunder game. Justin, don't you?
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? You got to be confident. That's where you should have chimed in and been like, the Pelicans won by 50.
No, that's just unrealistic.
That's not unrealistic. That can
happen.
Charlie, that can
15,
happen.
Though.
I think they're 0-2 against the Thunder this year so far.
No, thanks, Charlie.
But I think both those games were when the team was, you know, injured and knocked up a little bit. I think with a healthy team, the Pelicans have a great shot to beat the Thunder tonight.
Hmm. Well, this is going to go still.
The Thunder
so
are a very surprising team this year. I mean, I think they've surprised everyone. I'm pretty sure I had them preseason ranked like 12th or 13th in the West. And here they are at 7th. So they've been doing great things. But I think the Pelicans, they're on a little streak right now. And they're getting ready to take out anyone in their path, including the Thunder.
So we'll answer your questions. We'll talk about All-Star Weekend, even the celebrity game to Charlie's demise.
Oh, yeah. I'm not that big of a fan of the celebrity game.
One of them's coached by Stephen A. Smith.
I hate fun.
No. I hate everything fun.
No, it's just
it's just what?
It's his own thing.
No. Wait, Justin, do you like the celebrity game?
I mean, it's my least favorite thing that weekend, but I still watch it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Like, I'd rather watch the three-point shooting contest, the dunk contest, the skills challenge even, and, of course, the All-Star game over it. So it's on the ladder of hierarchy of All-Star Weekend, it's on the lowest rung of the ladder, sadly.
I want to start off with talking about college basketball, though. I know right before we started recording, we had a plan, but I don't want to abandon this segment like we did last week.
Yeah, we kind of missed it last week.
Yeah,
we were caught up in talking about the Pelicans and all this other stuff going on. And I think last weekend was NBA trade deadline, so that took up a huge chunk of the show. And we just kind of missed our college basketball upset of the week. But we remembered as soon as we were done recording, took our upset picks, and we do have a winner for this week.
Oh, who is it?
Lewis, congratulations. You picked Michigan over Michigan State.
Wow. Me picking something right? Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it?
Me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
I had Kansas losing to West Virginia last night. It was looking great. Ben Roethlisberger was at that game, which was kind of weird to me.
Okay.
I don't know if he had any kind of connection to West Virginia.
His West Virginia ties.
Yeah, right. So, like, they had a really funny picture where they had the Mountaineer for West Virginia. He kind of wears, like, the raccoon hat. And he gave the raccoon hat to Ben Roethlisberger, and they both had, like, these huge beards. They were kind of big guys. And they were like, can't tell the difference between the Mountaineer and Ben Roethlisberger. And I was just like, it's kind of funny.
Why is Big Ben at that game?
I don't know.
Why is Big Ben still in the league?
Ooh.
Oh, sorry. Well, we meant to trash Kevin Durant. We didn't think we would trash
Ben Roethlisberger.
Not how the show was supposed to go.
This is not how it was supposed to go, but, you know. It is what it is.
College basketball.
I picked it correctly. You guys lost. I feel great.
I win. You lose.
Okay, so I picked Michigan over Michigan State. Who is it? See, I don't even know. That's how little
Michigan,
I've been paying attention.
Michigan over Michigan State.
That's how little I've been paying attention to college basketball this season.
College basketball's March Madness is going to be nuts this year.
Is it going to be good, though?
If you love first-round upsets, it's probably going to be the best. I would be stunned if not like half of the teams ranked with a higher seed lose this year.
I don't want to confuse upsets with good basketball.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. It's just like a lot of times when you have a Cinderella team that comes in and beats one of the top teams in the tournament, they go on a little bit of a run. But when it comes to the great teams, they usually kind of get smacked around. Loyola Chicago was kind of one of those only differences, a divergent from that path where they made the Final Four that one year. I think that was 2 years ago. Outside of that, it's been more of a team upsets someone in the first round, maybe gets another win in the second round, but then just gets blown out of the third round. So it kind of makes for a boring Sweet 16 or Elite Eight if one of those lower seeds goes really far. But the first round is always exciting when there's a lot of upsets. Everyone's just like, oh, wow, you know, Duke lost or Kansas lost. There's some of these huge blue blood programs lose to these teams that no one's ever heard of, right?
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting.
Well, we have to pick a college upset this week, right?
We do have to pick a college upset this week.
Okay. Well, is picking Baylor beating West Virginia cheating?
Baylor's the number one seed.
Don't we pick what top 25 team's going to lose?
No, we pick but the top 25 team needs to lose to a lower seed if you're going to pick two top 25 teams.
I got you. This is college basketball upset of the week.
It's an upset.
All right. All right, well, here we go. Justin, have you picked yours?
Yep.
All right, reveal it.
I'm going to a game on Saturday night, Providence over Seton Hall.
Hmm.
Providence over Seton Hall, huh?
I was thinking a Saturday night game, too.
Okay, go ahead, Lewis.
No, that would be too much of a joke.
What? Are you going Pepperdine?
Yeah, I was looking really hard at the Pepperdine game. I was like, yeah, here we go. I'm going to be bold. But I don't want to be stupid. I'll go Oregon State over Colorado.
Okay. I'm going Michigan State over Maryland at home. Michigan State was like one of the top-ranked teams coming into the season. They've fallen off significantly.
See, I was going to pick Michigan State, then I remembered.
You picked against them, and that worked out for you.
Yeah, so.
So top 10 upset for me this week.
That'd be exciting.
Top 10 upset for Justin as well.
Oh.
Seton Hall's number 10.
So Pepperdine, no chance they beat Gonzaga, or?
Who knows. I think it was like San Francisco who a couple weeks ago had a really tight game against Gonzaga. They almost upset them, which would have been fun.
Can you write it as like a...
I'll write it. I'll write it there.
I'm putting it out in the universe.
You said Oregon State over Colorado for your main upset.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then right next to that, all lowercase, kind of, you know.
Pepperdine.
If you get that, you can brag all you want. Gonzaga awesome. Has one last you one loss all year.
Well, I'm trust me, I'm going to brag. If there's anything about me, I'm going to brag. I didn't want to abandon that segment.
I like it.
Because we said we were not going to abandon segments. We had, you know, what do those numbers mean? That's a classic.
That is a classic.
That's a classic segment.
That is a classic segment.
I'm trying to think of other segments that we have, but we have abandoned them so much that I can't even. Charlie, can you think of the other, like, segments we've had?
Oh, no, I really can't.
We've had so many that we just.
Off the top of my head, I'd have to think about it for a while.
We used to do a bunch of brackets.
Yeah.
Brackets
are
fun.
They still resurge.
Well, brackets, they're forever. You know?
We do brackets every time there's a playoff.
Brackets are forever. We'll say that.
What do these numbers mean is not?
Yeah, that's in the Hall of Fame, though. That's in the Vermillion Sports Show segment Hall of Fame. What did those numbers mean? I miss that segment. We'll never bring it back, but maybe one time. I don't know. That's our college basketball upset of the week. Man, I feel great about Pepperdine upsetting Gonzaga.
If it happens,
I feel great about that. I can't wait till that happens. Let's take some questions now.
Do we have poll results first.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Justin? Why don't you go ahead and plug Twitter? Plug our Twitter account.
So on Twitter, at Vermillion Show, we had a poll up last week. The question was, what should the Pelicans do with Drew Holiday? Keep in mind, it was before the trade deadline that this was tweeted. But the options are trade him at the deadline, build around him, trade him this offseason, and then keep him one more year. The winning one was trade him this offseason with 40%. Very tight second, 34% said keep him just one more year. And then 13% for both trade him at the deadline and build around him.
Man, our audience, huh? Not biased at all. I know some people. I don't think really anybody was like trade Drew Holiday at the trade deadline. And also, apparently, there were no offers that blew away the Pelicans.
Which, if there weren't any, you shouldn't have done it. But having Drew Holiday say that he wants to be here, I think I said this last week, but having him say that was very heartwarming because we've dealt with so many good players that never wanted to be here. Drew Holiday is a great player, and he's just like, I want to stick with this team. I want to build this team. I want to do something with this team, and I'm glad we kept him.
I feel at home here.
Yeah.
As the president of the Drew Holiday fan club, it's great that I have you guys to really appreciate Drew Holiday with me.
Oh, yeah. He's been awesome this year.
And he was great against Indiana.
Yes, he was.
He was awesome.
He always shows up as two brothers.
Played great defense against Damian Lillard.
As he always does. He always locks down Dame.
His other little brother.
Got him.
No, that's his son.
Bow. Son. You know, whatever you want to call him. Damian Lillard doesn't perform well when he's lined up against Drew Holiday.
First team all defense.
That's right. Is that, I don't know about this season.
Maybe not this season.
Yeah, maybe not.
But last season was.
Hey, if Drew Holiday guarded Damian Lillard 82 games a year, defensive player of the year.
It's true.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Or Kevin Love. He wrecked Kevin Love.
Unfortunately, you can't split up the season by playing 41 games against the Cavs and 41 games against the Trailblazers.
You would be looking very nice if that happened.
What would their record be? What would the Pelicans' record be if they played 41 games
realistically
against the Cavs?
Realistically, like 65, maybe 65 wins, 65-17.
Yeah, you're bound to drop a few here and there.
Yeah. Okay, so what if they played the Cavs 82 games a year?
Then they're looking
Did they beat the Warriors' record?
There's a good potential to do it.
I don't know. The Cavs have Andre Drummond now, and they were beating up on. They were playing last night.
Hawks.
I think they beat up on the Hawks last night.
The Hawks defense. Yikes.
Yeah, I guess Andre Drummond's good enough for 10 Cavs wins against the Pelicans. I'm not sure, but that's our. Go follow our Twitter, okay?
Yeah.
At Vermillion Show. That's 1L.
We have fun.
Look it up. All right. Thank you for the poll results. We'll have a new poll up. And then we asked for you to send in questions. People have sent in questions. We'll do it again. But we have some questions here. And Justin, why don't you read the question and then we'll answer it.
Okay. So we had 4 from Daniel, 1 from Ben, and then we have Charlie. So we'll start with Daniel's questions. Well, this one is directed. Wait, what?
No, I was just saying, you know, we should just make Daniel our number one fan.
You're right.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Daniel.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for the question. First question he sent is, in parentheses, sorry, Charlie, but should the Astros 2017 World Series title be stripped?
I guess that's just a question for me then.
No, he said sorry, Charlie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he sent it at me.
First off, it rhymes, but...
The thing about the Astros is I've been so frustrated with all of the articles and stories and everything that keeps getting pumped out that's fueling this hate bandwagon. Do they deserve it? Yeah, they definitely do. They deserve all the hate that's going their way. They just released, apparently, Bregman and Altuve apologized very recently. But even that's going to get hate. Everyone's just going to hate this team. Is what they did, are they the only team that's ever done it that way? No. Are they the team that got caught? Yes. And therefore, there's this whole, you know, just hate spewing all over the place towards the Astros, which makes me really upset because I've been a fan of the Astros since I was a kid and went to games with my parents and grandparents watching the Killer Bees come up just short of a World Series ring. And to see them win it in 2017, you can't take away that feeling from me. You can take away the ring, whatever. But that fall night in 2017 when they beat the Dodgers in Game 7, unforgettable moment for me. Especially after seeing Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell and Lance Berkman go on this last ride and come up just short against a super hot White Sox team in 2005. So I think that should it be revoked? From a logical standpoint, probably. This is the biggest scandal in MLB history. As a fan, however, I don't think... You know, as I said, you can't really take away the feeling that I felt from it. So, yeah, that's my answer.
So you could strip the title, but you can't strip Charlie's feelings.
During that night when I was ignorant to the cheating. But I think that what the owner is doing is just making it so much worse. Jim Crane, I had respect for him, but he's just making every single thing he does when he gets in the media, it's something that's making the situation worse with Astros. Now, their hire of Dusty Baker was a great idea. He's like one of the classiest guys in the MLB. He's been around for forever. So he's someone that's going to try and be here for a couple of years, try and win his ring before he retires with the Astros, and then go out on his merry way, and the Astros can find someone else once everything's kind of dissipated a little bit, and they may have gained some of their morality back in the eyes of other fans. But I think it's a process. It's a step-by-step thing. The beginning of this year in the MLB season is going to be especially interesting to watch for. I think that especially in the first couple of weeks and whenever they go to New York, it's going to be something. But the opposing fan bases, the opposing players, it's going to be pretty nasty. So I'll be tuned in occasionally. I don't think I'll be tuned in as ravenously as I was this past year. But, yeah, I think what Commissioner Manfred did when he brought down the punishment, he brought down the punishment for the 2017 scandal where they were using cameras to steal signs. They were using trash cans and whatever and beating on the roof of the dugout to let players know which pitch were coming. But a lot of people are talking about the buzzers. I don't think there's been any evidence that buzzers were used. Everyone has come out and denied that buzzers were used. And recently I saw an article talking about Carlos Beltran was one of the main kind of proponents for getting the sign-stealing technology available, which is also very upsetting to me because I was a very big Carlos Beltran fan as a kid. His 2004 postseason run as an Astro, I will never forget, when he hit like 9 home runs in the same postseason. He was fantastic. So I think that when it comes down to it, I think it probably should be, but at the same time, you just can't erase that feeling that I had. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Wow. The show took a somber hit, but that was beautifully put, Charlie.
Yeah, it's just my opinions on the whole thing. I haven't really talked about it much because it's just been frustrating. But as it keeps coming out, it feels like every single day there's like 3 different news stories about like, oh, this player is like suing the Astros, or this player is complaining about the sign-stealing scandal, or this... I want the MLB to do a full investigation on every single team in the league. Every single team. Teams that won championships, teams that were even bad, and see exactly if the Astros were the only team doing it. Because if I had to guess, absolutely not. They're already investigating the Red Sox. I think they should investigate the Yankees. I think they maybe should investigate the Twins from last year, the Twins who had a ridiculous splurge in numbers and home runs. They hit the most home runs in MLB, in a single season in MLB history. That came out of nowhere. So there are a couple teams that I think should be investigated, but it feels like the Astros are the only one that's being focused on because they're the only one that people know cheated, and that's what's driving these clicks, driving the views, and it just keeps coming out every single day. So, yeah, I want them to kind of open it up a little bit and really kind of see if they were the only one. If they were, then that's just incredibly disappointing as a former Astros fan. But I think that if it's not, then it kind of confirms my suspicions that everyone cheats. Everyone cheats. But we'll see.
All right, we got to move on to the next question. Justin?
Daniel says, if Teddy Bridgewater leaves the Saints, where should he go?
All right. You know what? Let's hand it off to Justin. Justin, where do you think Teddy Bridgewater should go?
That's interesting. I feel like, off the top of my head, the Saints should give him an offer, especially with Drew potentially leaving. They should give him a reasonable offer. I know he can make starter money somewhere else, and he probably will, but the Saints should at least offer him something. As far as teams that should offer him a starter role, we know Philip Rivers just left the Chargers. I feel like that might be an interesting spot for him to go. Maybe the Raiders, team like the Colts, where Jacoby Brissett's not bad, but they could still use someone better. I feel like there's a couple interesting teams in the market for quarterbacks this coming season. I feel like he could fit in pretty well to a lot of those teams. Maybe the Redskins, too.
With the Titans?
No, I think the Titans are probably going to retain Tannehill.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think, in my opinion, as far as options for Teddy, the Chargers are a good option, as Justin mentioned. I think the Buccaneers are actually a really good option that isn't really being discussed too much.
Well, Jameis Winston just got LASIK.
He did.
30 vision?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who knows what's happening with that situation in Tampa Bay. I know that Bruce Arians has come out and basically said everything, but I don't like Jameis Winston as my quarterback. So if he wants to move on from him, then sure. You get a much better decision maker in Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe less explosive, but someone that's not going to turn the ball over 30 times in a season. So I think that could be an option. A lot of people are saying that the Bears are a pretty good fit too. But the thing with the Bears is that they have to commit one more year to Trubisky.
They have to.
Their trade is completely wasted. So the Bears are in between a rock and a hard place. So I think realistically my top two picks would probably be either the Chargers or the Bucks.
All right. Next question.
Okay. Daniel Ginn with the 24th pick in the draft. If the Saints do not trade up to possibly snag a QB, should they get a wide receiver?
Yes.
Best player available between wide receiver, linebacker, offensive line, in my opinion. Best player available. I think wide receiver is probably the biggest need. If we do, I love Justin Jefferson.
I really do, but Sean Payton doesn't like LSU players.
I really do like Justin Jefferson. I said that he reminded me a little bit of Jarvis Landry, with as far as like good route running, good hands, great hands. He doesn't really drop anything, but he's actually taller, like significantly taller than Justin Jefferson, or than Jarvis Landry, my bad. So getting a 6'4 guy that can run good routes and have great hands right next to Michael Thomas is something that the Saints could really use.
And it's so deep, the wide receiver class.
It is. So they could pick one maybe in the third round and still get a really solid player.
Yeah.
But do you really pass on that kind of an option? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Justin, do you think they should draft a wide receiver if they keep that 24 pick?
I think so. I agree with Charlie. I'd say either offensive line or receiver. I feel like a linebacker was still okay. I don't know if you used that first round. But the receiver is definitely a big need.
All right, next question.
All right, last one Daniel sent in was, how dangerous can the Pelicans be after the All-Star break as they push for the number 8 seed?
Extremely dangerous.
So here's the thing. We said yesterday that they have, 9 of their remaining 31 games last week. As of last week, were against teams above 500. That number is even lower now. And I looked at their schedule. Within their last 15 games, they play one team over 500. You know who that team is? Philadelphia. You know where they play them? In New Orleans.
Ooh.
Where Philadelphia has been terrible on the road this year. I think they're 9-18, 9-19, something like that. While at home, they've been probably the best team in the NBA. It's so that Philadelphia team is weird. So that's a winnable game as well.
Oh.
This Pelicans team could go on a very significant run at the end of the season, and it's something that I'm going to be watching out for. Maybe they win 12 of those games, maybe 13 of those games, and they finish the season very strong. If they, I think that the potential, I said last week the potential was really probably a finish line of 42-40, like just above 500. I think realistically there's a chance for them to go even better than that and go on a ridiculous run that puts them at something like 45-37.
Really?
Yep.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
That just means they won't have to lose six games?
That, well, look at their last 15 games. I'm telling you. It's if they win a couple – they're realistically, the Pelicans are going to lose a couple games that they're supposed to win, and they're going to win a couple games that they're supposed to lose. That's just kind of what happens with a young team. But if they keep the turnovers down and they keep balling out and Zion Williamson keeps making this push for Rookie of the Year, Brandon Ingram becomes healthy, comes back, Drew Holiday's playing great on both sides of the ball like he's been doing recently, man, this guy's the limit for this team.
They're dangerous. I mean, they have the easiest remaining schedule. Memphis has one of the hardest remaining
schedules.
They
have the hardest.
They have the hardest remaining schedule.
And now Damian Lillard, I think, is injured.
He's a groin injury. Yeah. He has, yeah. I don't know how long that'll keep him out for. But
it's keeping him out of All-Star weekend.
It is. And the Pelicans could really catch them, especially with the way that they've been playing. They're 16-8 in their last 24 games.
So,
Pelicans are dangerous, man.
I'm going to run down the rest of February. There's only, you know, five games left, including tonight's game against the Thunder. They play at home.
Should be a dub.
At home against the Thunder. On the road against the Trailblazers, which, you know, if Damian Lillard is out for that game, it would make it significantly easier. On the road against the Warriors. On the road against the Lakers. And at home against the Cavaliers.
Oh.
I think that's 4-1.
Thunder's iffy. Lakers
which
iffy.
Which one do you say we drop?
Probably at the Lakers.
This Thunder game, though, is a little tough.
This Thunder game is going to be huge. Any game against one of those top, you know, teams in the 7 or 8 position is pretty big. I think that they can pick it up, though, because I think the last two times they played the Thunder, they played them tough, but they just didn't have enough going for them. They were too injured. So, yeah, I'll say 4-1 to end in February. They're just showing me so much right now.
Yeah, just don't turn the ball over 30 times a game, Pelicans. The Pelicans should read my tweets.
They really should.
They should be like, oh, hey, why don't we just not turn the ball over and we'd be the best team in the league? That's what they would take away.
So their last 15 games, I'm going to read this off to you. Starting on Monday, March 16th, okay? They play at home against the Hawks, at home against the Spurs, on the road against the Grizzlies, at home against the Kings, at home against the Grizzlies, at home against the Knicks, on the road against the Magic, on the road against the Hawks, and then we go into April. On the road against the Wizards, on the road against the Spurs, at home against the Hornets, at home against the Suns, at home against the 76ers, at home against the Wizards, and on the road against the Spurs. Those games are all winnable. All of them. Especially with how the Pelicans are playing right now.
That's true. That's true. Justin, how dangerous are they?
I think very dangerous. I agree with what Charlie was saying, that their schedule is easy. It's just a matter of them actually picking up the games at this point. This team has done a really good job at closing out and holding on to leads recently. So if they keep that up, I think they definitely make a playoff push and sneak in there.
All right, we got, I think, two more questions?
Yep.
All right, let's get the other one.
Ben sent one that said, which NFL team has the brightest future? Which he was explaining to me as 5 years down the road, what current NFL team can you be like, okay, in 5 years, they'll be a consistent playoff contender.
Is it NFL
Kansas,
team?
Is it NFL?
Yeah.
Is it Kansas City?
Kansas City is a very safe pick, but I think I'd have to agree.
I'm trying to think.
I think the Ravens could be pretty good.
The Ravens are one.
The Ravens are a good pick as well. They have a lot of really young players on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they can keep building. They have, oh man, the Ravens are actually probably a better pick.
That, yeah.
I feel like maybe like a sleeper team too could be like the Redskins.
Yeah, the Redskins would be kind of going out on a limb, though. Their ownership, they just haven't drafted well. Like, that would be putting a lot on Dwayne Haskins and Darius Geis.
Yeah, with the ownership, I wouldn't say the Redskins have a bright future.
I can tell you what team doesn't have a bright future.
Who's that?
The Rams.
Oh, here we go.
They're right, locked into so many bad contracts.
Slam the Rams right now.
They have so many bad contracts. They're locked into so much. They lock so much money into a group of players, and until those contracts are up, they'll be a lot more free with cap space. But they are in not a great situation right now. But I think that the Ravens are a good pick. I think the Chiefs are also a good pick.
What's a team that finished below 500 that actually has a bright future? The Jets?
The Jets are actually a pretty decent one.
Thank you, Charlie.
I'd say either the New York teams, honestly. The Jets, maybe even the Giants.
No, I think the Jets.
The Jets probably more so. There's a couple teams that could be on the up and coming. Like, I mean, San Francisco last year won 4 games, and then they were in the Super Bowl this year. So,
what about the Browns?
No.
I'm joking.
Speaking of the Browns,
If any Ohio team is going to do it, it's going to be Cincinnati.
That's true.
Oh, with Joe Burrow?
Yeah, Joe Burrow. That depends on how good Joe Burrow is. You might have to talk about the Bengals or Miami. Who knows?
Miami needs to draft well.
I was going to say they need to draft well. They got a lot of first round picks. So, yeah.
And speaking of Miami, that actually goes into our question. Our last question for the week.
Here we go.
Will the Dolphins try to trade up for the number one overall pick? They have 3 first rounders this year.
Maybe they might try, but Cincinnati is not going to do it.
What else do you think they'd need or they'd ask for? Because I think if you're Cincinnati and a team is offering 3 first-round picks in 1 year, and maybe even a player or another first-round pick or another pick or somewhere else, I think you at least think about it.
I know you think about it.
Because the first pick that they have, the first of those 3, it's not like you're getting 3 picks in the 20s. You know, you get the number 5 overall pick within that package, which isn't that bad of a drop-off. I mean, you don't get Burrow, and that would be having to put a lot of trust in Tua. But I think the Dolphins would at least maybe inquire about it if they really like Burrow.
And apparently Tua is making some good progress.
Yeah, Tua's an interesting prospect.
I feel like it wouldn't be smart for the Dolphins to trade up to 1 because it's realistic Tua falls to 5, and they're very happy with taking Tua. So I don't feel like you throw away your whole first round draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole question is, would they give away their 3 first-round picks to pick Burrow, or would they stay pat and take Tua and then probably pick an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman with their other 2 picks, which I think is probably the smarter idea because you want to kind of stock up your talent. Of course, you may pass up on a potential generational quarterback with Burrow, or you may fall into 1 with Tua. Both are, the whole thing with Tua was that going into this season, the whole idea for the Dolphins was tank for Tua, right? Tank for Tua, go get, the top quarterback prospect in a while. And his injury issues are legitimate. They're a real question mark. So people are kind of overlooking that. I see a lot. But I still think that he doesn't go any lower than 5. If he does, then I think the Saints ought to make a move up to try and get him just because of the talent that he has. But as far as the Dolphins go, I think the smarter pick is to probably stay at put and pick Tua at 5 and maybe pick an offensive lineman and defensive lineman with their other 2 later picks in the 20s instead of packaging them to move up for the number 1 overall pick.
I think they'll stay put. Can't wait till that ages poorly and the Dolphins trade everything they have to draft Joe Burrow.
I could see it. I really could.
But I really don't know if that's the right move. I like building a team rather than trying to rely on a guy out of college. I like to get more picks instead of just having the number 1 pick.
I feel like they draft Tua, they keep Fitzpatrick, and they kind of let Tua sit behind them for a year, learn the offense maybe. Brian Flores is a good coach. No one expected that Dolphins team to win a game, and I think they won 5.
Yeah.
So shout out to him. But I think that they'll pick some good – they need defense, they need offensive line. Devontae Parker had a pretty good season, so that's a nice weapon potentially. So they have some holes that need to be filled. So I think that it's smarter to use all 3 of their first round picks to start to fill those holes.
I agree. Justin, you think Miami should just keep their 3 first round picks?
Oh yeah, I say they stay where they are and build a team for the future instead of trying to risk it all for 1 guy.
Doesn't that make for great radio when you all agree? Winner. Wait, what?
1 Heisman winner, though.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yikes. This is the second time we've mentioned Baker or the Browns.
In a negative light.
That's right. And Big Ben.
Man, we just hate on the AFC North.
All right, real quick. We really meant to trash Kevin Durant in this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. We really meant to do that. And we'll trash Kevin Durant, and then we'll move on to All-Star Weekend. Charlie, you have some thoughts about Kevin Durant?
Oh, yeah. Kevin Durant recently came out and said that OKC, the reason he left was because he was the only one that could shoot the ball. It was something along the lines of that. Like, he was like, oh, I was putting around a bunch of athletes, but I was the only one that could consistently, like, make threes or make jump shots. And while that may be somewhat correct, at the same time, their team had a legitimate shot to win a championship that year, and Durant just lost it at the end. He's not a leader. He kind of fancies himself as one, but he's just not. So congratulations, Kevin Durant. You made everyone hate you even more by just trashing your old teammates.
All right, Justin. Here you go. Here's your moment. You can talk about Kevin Durant.
Nobody likes him, but it's just he consistently does things to make people hate him even more. And I don't know his stats when he was in OKC, but he had Russell Westbrook next to him, and Westbrook is a phenomenal player. And James Harden was on that team for a bit with Kevin Durant too, and you see what James Harden has become. So Kevin Durant is possibly going delusional and trying to get media attention. So we'll let him do his thing, but the reality is James Harden won the MVP last year, and Kevin Durant has been ring chasing ever since he left. So,
I mean, I don't know how to say it any better than what Justin just did.
Yeah, he really knows how to make fans dislike him. I'll give him that.
Including Charlie. Charlie was a Kevin Durant fan.
I was a Kevin Durant fan. That's a sad thing. You know, I loved him when he was at OKC.
And then look at Charlie now.
Yeah. Sad how we've become what we've
You're
become.
A Wizards fan, you know.
I am a Wizards fan.
You wanted him on the Wizards, right?
Leave my boy Bradley Beal alone.
You were driving the KD come home.
I thought it would have happened. But no. Instead he's just like, no, I'm just gonna go join a 73-9 team. But in my defense, no one expected that. No one expected him to go join the Warriors.
No one thought he would go to Washington either. No disrespect to your team, man. Or the Chicago Bulls.
There's always a chance. But not with how KD is as a person.
Hey, speaking of Chicago, All-Star Weekend in Chicago this weekend. And it starts Friday with a celebrity game. Charlie, you can sit the conversation up. You don't like the celebrity.
I'm snoring.
Game. Yeah. Just take a nap while me and Justin talk about who's going to win the MVP of the celebrity game. Wilbon is coaching one of the teams.
I love Mike Wilbon. Sorry to wake up from my nap.
Yeah, with that, I should turn your mic off. Told you not to chime in. Common is the captain. This is fun. I love the celebrity game. A couple of notable names. Bad Bunny, I guess. I don't listen. Hannibal Buress. He's funny.
I love Hannibal Buress.
Love Hannibal Buress. Quentin Richardson on this team. In parentheses, it says NBA legend. Not sure about that.
Who?
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 Famous Los is on here as well on the Wilbon team. And then from there, I really don't know. So, really don't know the rest of the team. Justin, how many of the celebrities do you know on Team Wilbon?
I think about 3 or 4.
Yeah. Charlie, I mean, you don't know anybody. It's okay.
I knew, like, all those names that you talked about.
Okay, that's fine. Well, yeah, because I read the notable ones. Then we have Team Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Stephen A. Smith will coach one of these teams. Assistant coach, Guy Fieri, on this team. I can't make this up. Honestly, this is the internet's dream. This is the internet dream team. Chance the Rapper is the captain. Dropped an album that was totally meme-worthy.
Oh.
Quavo. We know Quavo.
Yep.
Taylor Bennett is the brother of Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. I'll have to look that up. Then we have Ronnie 2K, who should be making a better NBA 2K game than being in the celebrity game, for being honest. Justin, do you have NBA 2K20?
I do.
Oh, is it good?
I enjoy it.
I don't know if I believe you. It's not fitting in with what I'm saying, so I don't...
I disagree with your take.
I disagree.
I reject your hypothesis.
It's true. I mean,
oh, bring in school into it.
Let's not bring Quentin Tarantino into it. Nice. We remember that little press conference. Hey, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you won Best Production Design.
Congratulations. You deserved it.
Way to create 1960s Hollywood.
It was awesome.
We also have Darius Miles, who's in parentheses. NBA legend.
I don't know.
You're forgetting about your boy Anthony Spice Adams and his nickname.
I love Spice Adams.
Yeah. He's on Stephen A. I mean, honestly, Internet Dream Team.
Oh, man. I'm going for Team Stephen A. I'll watch this because of Spice.
There you go. Now you care.
You mentioned Spice Adams. He's one of my favorite Instagram follows.
Everyone go follow. And then while you're at it, go follow us. We don't have Instagram, do we?
No.
Yeah.
I was asking the head of our social media department.
What would we post?
Well, I don't know.
Just in the studio.
We're
in the studio.
And I'll hold up my phone to show that Justin's here in the studio with us, too. You know what? If you don't care about the celebrity game, it's okay. It's okay. Justin, who's going to win celebrity game MVP?
I feel like Quavo is usually a good bet for that.
Yeah, Quavo's good. He's a good basketball player. Charlie, does Stephen A. Smith get ejected from this game?
No.
Guy Fieri does.
When does Stephen A. Smith get head coaching consideration for an NBA team?
After Team Stephen A. Smith runs by Team Wilmont. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike. We like you, Mike.
We like you, Mike, but I like Stephen A.'s team more.
Which NBA team would call up Stephen A. Smith for a head coaching position?
The Knicks.
Oh, man. That'd be perfect.
Oh, could you imagine?
Then we have the Rising Stars game, who, I mean, Jackson Hayes despises this game.
Are we picking MVPs for for every game?
Yeah, for every game.
I got Spice.
Okay, fine.
I got Spice.
I wasn't going to ask you.
Spice Adams.
I have... Should I pick an NBA legend? Quentin Richardson? Who knows? I'll pick Common. A captain.
You don't seem very confident in that.
No. No, I'm not very confident in that. Are you writing these down?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Fantastic. We'll go to the Rising Stars game. Jackson Hayes hates this game. I hate that Jackson Hayes isn't in this game. We have the U.S. roster.
Three Pelicans are, though.
That's true. U.S. roster versus the world roster. Nicola Melli, late entry. He was named to the world roster, replacing DeAndre Ayton. Why are you laughing about DeAndre Ayton?
The Suns are a goofy team.
You're a Suns fan.
I like Monty too. I like Monty, but the Suns are kind of goofy.
You like Devin Booker?
The Suns and the Timberwolves are those two teams in the West that just make me laugh.
That's why Devin Booker is going to go to Minnesota.
If Devin Booker goes to Minnesota and the Timberwolves become a good team, that'd be a fun team to watch. But good Lord, if your best three players can't play defense, they're going to be having to score 150 points a night to win games.
Well, they're essentially the Washington Wizards at that point. Washington Wizards score a lot of points, but they play zero defense.
Get Bradley Beal some help, please.
Please. I mean, you hear from the Wizards fan over there. Get him some help.
Please.
U.S. roster versus the world roster. I think the world roster is better just by looking at it. You have Doncic, got the best player.
Luka does not belong in this game.
No. What is he here for?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he actually plays.
Go get prepped for the All-Star game, my dude.
I'm going to chill. Nickeil Alexander-Walker's in it. Shout out. Nicole Miller. USA. You like Team USA?
They have Ja, they have Zion.
I don't think Zion's playing much. I don't think he's going to play much in this game. If I'm the Pelicans, I'm
calling
up.
Kendrick Nunn is pretty good.
Wait, what?
Kendrick Nunn is pretty good on Team USA.
I mean, he's pretty good, but like, I love Brandon Clark.
Brandon Clark is good. I like Kendrick Nunn more, but Brandon Clark is good.
I think RJ Barrett, I think this is a moment where he can shine. I know.
He's on Team World, huh?
Yeah, he's on Team World.
He's from Canada.
Canada. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
And that's a guy that'll try him in these games. He's the kind of guy. Rui Hachimura, compared to as the young Kawhi Leonard, and a Washington Wizard. You got one, Charlie.
Woo!
You got one. Oh, wow. This is a name I haven't heard in a while. Wagner. Moritz Mo Wagner.
Mo Wagner. Mo yeah. Wagner.
Mo Wagner. Why did I say Wagner? I'm just so uncultured.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Disrespect his heritage.
I like Josh Okogie, too. He was better last season. You heard more about him.
On the T-Wolves? Still?
No, I have to look that up.
I don't remember if he got traded or not.
I like him. I just don't know who he plays for.
I like him, too.
We'll do the Charles Barkley segment.
Who does he play for?
He's still on the Timberwolves.
Yeah. He's a good player.
He's a good player. I like him. All right. Well.
The Timberwolves are still goofy.
Who's going to win? U.S. or world? I'll go world.
I'll go world as well.
Justin.
A clean sweep world.
Really? You just said you like the USA team.
I do, but you've convinced me.
You don't think Trae Young drops 50 in this game?
I mean, he's not going to be going all out.
He doesn't have to go all out to score 50. He just pulls up from the logo. He's good.
There's a note.
You don't think Devontae Graham will be like, this is my moment to shine?
Oh, Devontae Graham could really kind of try.
I think Colin Sexton is a guy that would just hold U.S. back. You know, he's just going to continue to be inefficient.
Oof.
He's going to shoot 5 of 20.
Oof.
God, Colin Sexton, Big Ben, Kevin Durant, Baker Mayfield.
We're at all y'all's next.
Yeah, we're everyone's next. Sorry.
We're
maybe
going after Cleveland today.
Oh, man. Sorry,
Cleveland doesn't deserve it.
Cleveland, this one's for you.
Cleveland doesn't deserve it. They're already going through too much.
You're right. Sorry.
We have to knock them off a little bit after Myles Garrett got back because they're all very happy about that.
Yeah, sorry, Cleveland. I don't know why. Man, it's just embedded in us, all this Cleveland hate. Let's go to the skills challenge. Wait, do we have an MVP?
Wait, we need MVP.
We need MVP for this game. All right, so if you're picking world, who's the MVP? I'll go SGA.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Shea seems like the guy that's going to be playing a lot of minutes and going to be trying, so I'll agree with that.
Jesse, you said Luka?
Yep.
I'd be shocked if he plays more than 10 minutes.
I don't think he will.
If he plays more than 10 minutes, I'll be shocked. Let's go to skills challenge. And he's coming off an injury. So, skills challenge.
It's a practice for him.
Guards versus the bigs in the skills challenge. The last big to win was Kristaps Porzingis. Unless I'm pronouncing his name wrong, Charlie.
No, you got it.
That's correct.
Thanks. Okay, so we have Dinwiddie, Chris Middleton, SGA, Jason Tatum, Pascal Siakam, Domantas Sabonis, Patrick Beverley, and Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo, to no one's surprise, is the one with the worst betting odds here.
I like Bam.
I like Bam, too, but he's probably the least likely to win the skills challenge, and that's why I'm going to pick him.
Really?
I want to pick him so bad. I know someone else is going
to
win.
I
want him
to, too.
I just want him to win. You know, I'll go Bam. I like Bam.
So what were the options? Is Tatum?
Dinwiddie, Middleton, SGA, Tatum, Siakam, Sabonis, Beverly.
Ooh.
Sabonis has a good shot.
I'll go another big. I'll go Siakam.
Siakam? Mm-hmm. All right. I like that, too. This is his year.
Yeah, he's great.
Justin?
I like Siakam, but I'm going to go with Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton. His handle concerns me. I feel like he won't be fast enough.
Yeah, Siakam's got a good handle.
And, yeah, I'm a little concerned about Chris Middleton, but I respect your pick, Justin. Let's go to the three-point contest.
Okay.
My favorite contest. You think the three-point contest is better than the dunk contest?
In recent years, it has been.
Justin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Charlie.
All right, we agree. Three-point contest, I love it. Gets my blood pumping, pulse racing. And this year, we have Washington Wizard. Bertans on here. Shout out to him. Devontae Graham from Charlotte. Joe Harris from Brooklyn. Buddy Hield from Sacramento. Shout out. Zach LaVine, Chicago. Duncan Robinson, Miami. And Trae Young, Atlanta. And don't forget, Devin Booker is in this too. Devin Booker, late addition with Damian Lillard being out. Got someone in mind, Charlie?
I have a couple players in mind. The three-point shooting contest is always kind of a throw-up. Like, no one really knows. Joe Harris got hot and won it last year. He could win it again. I want to pick Devontae Graham, kind of, but I feel like he's either going to be a first-round exit or he's going to win it. I'll go with a safer pick. I'll say Booker goes and wins it because he's upset that he's not in the All-Star game.
Ooh, he's fired up about the three-point contest. He really wants to show him.
Yeah.
I like it. I'll go Buddy Hield. Shout out.
With a brand.
Justin?
Trae Young.
Trae Young. Going Trae Young. Who's going to have the worst performance?
Zach LaVine.
Bertans. You think Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
The guy that hit like 13 threes in a game? You're like, I don't care.
Yeah. What's his shooting percentage?
I have to look it up. Stop making me look things up.
Yep.
Hey, well, Justin just said Bertans is going to have the worst.
Bertans, one of the only things he can do is shoot threes. Stay away from my Wizards, Justin.
Yeah. Bertans lives for these moments. Zach LaVine, in case you're wondering, 37.7% from three this season. It's not terrible.
It's below 40. I'm pretty sure most of those other guys are above 40.
Yeah, probably. All right, let's go to the dunk contest. We have Aaron Gordon, Dwight Howard, Derrick Jones Jr., and the best for last, Pat Connaughton, in this game. All right, a couple thoughts on each. Derrick Jones Jr. strikes me as more of an in-game dunker.
Ooh.
Than dunk contest.
Ooh.
I'm a little bit concerned about Derrick Jones Jr. Dwight Howard, the return of Superman. That should be fun or a disaster. Aaron Gordon, I think he's going to be solid. He's the safe pick for this one.
Yeah.
He's had one of the best dunks in Pat dunk Connaughton. Contest history. And then we have Pat Connaughton, ooh, who I have no read on.
He has hops.
He does.
Did you see how he dunked on Drew at the end of that Bucks game?
Well, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about it, but still, he showed how high he can get up.
You know, Pat Connaughton can get up.
Yeah.
The thing is Pat Connaughton creative?
Mm.
I worry about that.
That's a good point. Aaron Gordon's definitely creative.
Aaron Gordon's creative. All right, let's go to who we think is going to win. I think Aaron Gordon's going to win.
I think that's a safe pick.
It's safe?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been in this before recently, too. So, I mean... And he can jump out the gym. I'm going Aaron Gordon.
I want to pick Derrick Jones Jr. I don't know if he has the type of creativity to kind of surpass Aaron Gordon, though. That's my issue with it. So I'll go Gordon as well.
Justin?
I'm going to go Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
he's gonna be fired up. He wanted Kobe to help him with the dunk, and now he's going to be fired up for Kobe doing it for him. Okay. So I think he wins.
Is Dwight Howard the one that wants it most?
Probably.
That's a good pick, then.
Yeah.
Because if he's the guy that wants it the most, he's going to try the hardest. So,
I wonder if he brings back out the Superman.
Yeah, he's definitely going to do that.
At some point, at least.
He's definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
He'll be smart.
I think so. All right, let's go to the All-Star game on Sunday, baby.
Yep.
We got Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, where the consensus was LeBron is the better GM, even though he loves Shabazz Napier coming out of the draft. Let's not forget LeBron.
Don't forgive, we don't forget.
Shabazz Napier, I'm holding that one above you.
UConn.
Got any UConn takes?
Not since like 2014, no.
No. Any 2014 UConn takes?
That was the year they won the championship.
Best team of all time?
No. Shabazz Napier got hot, though.
Shabazz Napier. LeBron loved him. But LeBron's apparently the better GM. And, I mean, it looks like when you look at the roster, it looks like LeBron just picked whoever he wanted, and Giannis was like, I'll just pick whoever's left.
It was more like Giannis probably picked some of his buddies,
yeah,
and like players that he likes, you know. And then LeBron was just like, oh, I'll take Luka. I'll take AD. I'll take Harden.
Is Harden there?
Yeah.
AD? Luka? I'll take them all.
I actually really like Giannis' team, though.
I do, too.
I know. Well, the argument is they'll play more as a team. That's the argument.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the All-Star game.
I loved Chuck's kind of subtle diss at James Harden when they were talking about when Giannis picked Kemba over Harden. He's just like, oh, you don't want you want someone that's going to be able to pass the ball, right?
Yeah, so Giannis said that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Giannis. Giannis is a funny guy.
Subtle diss.
All right, who's going to win, Team LeBron or Team Giannis?
I'm a good Team Giannis.
You go Team Giannis?
I'm going to go Team Giannis in this game.
I'm agreeing with Charlie here.
I'm going Team LeBron.
Yeah, that's a safe pick, but I feel like Team Giannis is going to have those players that are going to really want to actually play in this game.
Well, I think Team LeBron does have some sort of motivation, you know, with the new kind of setup and rules for this All-Star game, honoring Kobe and Gianna. I think Team LeBron might want to do it.
I'm looking for Trae Young to pull up from 40 feet a couple times in this game.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be.
The All-Star game is going to be fun. You like the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the NFL All-Star game.
Is the NBA All-Star game the best All-Star game in the professional sports?
than Mobe is.
Oh, my God.
Than Mobe, well, I mean, it is. they play legitimate baseball in that game. It's not like it's just there's no defense in the NBA All-Star game. There isn't. It's just people jacking up shots. It is what it is. It's still fun, but the MLB baseball game feels like an actual game. And there used to be a lot going for it, too, because the conference winner of that game would host the World Series.
I think we should put stakes.
Yeah, I mean, the MLB did that for a couple of years.
Well, what happened? Why did they go away?
I think they were tired of teams with lesser records and then ending up having home field advantage in the World Series because of the All-Star game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
but it was interesting for a couple of years because those teams were going all out.
That's pretty good. Incentive. I like it. Justin, you like the All-Star game?
Yep.
You going to watch?
Yeah. No, I love the All-Star game. I think it's going to make it much more interesting with what they're doing this year. I think it's going to make everyone want to play more. So I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Who's going to be the MVP? So you picked Team Giannis. So who's going to be the MVP on Team Giannis?
Probably Giannis.
I'm going to go Kemba Probably. Walker.
Oh, Kemba Walker. So I picked Team LeBron. And you know what? You could groan when I say this. 80s from Chicago. The All-Star Games in Chicago. They usually want to get the hometown guy the award. So if LeBron's team wins and AD has a good game, going Anthony Davis.
Groan.
I knew it.
Yep.
I knew it.
Yep.
I knew you would hate it.
Yep.
But it is what it is. Yep. Well, Justin, do you have any thoughts about that?
No, I don't like it, but you know, you're not wrong. When the All-Star game was in New Orleans, they gave it to him.
Devin Booker, late addition with the Damian Lillard injury. Does Devin Booker have an MVP?
Damian Lillard may have had a shot at MVP.
I think Damian. Look, we might have been in the year of Damian Lillard if he willed his team to the playoffs. And, I mean, he still has an opportunity to do that. But say he had a great All-Star game where he won All-Star MVP. He was entering the All-Star game, averaging like 40-10. We might have been witnessing like a moment, you know.
Yeah.
And the All-Star game could have shown us something. It's a little disappointing that Damian Lillard wasn't in there. Because
he could have been All-Star MVP. I could have seen it.
Yeah, Damian Lillard would have been great. Trae Young. Oh, man. You know, Trae Young and Dame on the same team. That would have been great, too. We're going against each other, really. I always look for those, like, shootouts that happen. Let's bring it back before we wrap up the show. We only have about a minute and a half left. But Brandon Ingram, injured right now.
Yeah.
Does he play in the All-Star game?
If he feels like he won't re-injure himself, then probably, because I think it means a lot to him to have his first NBA All-Star selection. At the same time, as a Pelicans fan, I don't want him to risk anything, so I'd be completely fine if he sat out. Do I want to see him play? Sure, if he's healthy, but I want to see him play for the Pelicans, not this meaningless All-Star game.
Well, and there's not a lot of risk when it comes to All-Star game. I think just to do him like a career solid, you know, just play him like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, and then
just see him in the All-Star game. It'd be pretty fun.
Let him get him a couple shots up.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Charge mid-range.
Justin, what do you expect from Brandon Ingram in the All-Star game?
He probably won't be in too much. I know he's a game-time decision for tonight's game. He said his intention was to be back before the All-Star game, but if he doesn't play tonight, I don't know if he's... He might treat the All-Star game almost like a sort of practice, trying to make sure he's healthy, but I don't think he's going to play that much.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Mobility. And they have a week off. Well, after tonight, we won't get any NBA games for a week. I'm sad. I will try to get over it. But that will do it for myself, Justin, and Charlie this week. Thank you guys for talking sports with me, as always, and wishing me a happy early birthday. I appreciate that. If you missed any part of the show, you can listen to it online at krvs.org. You can hear us talk sports every Friday at midnight. Programming on KRVS comes to you each week through the generous support of listeners like you and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Before we go, we just wanted to say sorry to Cleveland. Didn't mean to bash you as much as we did. As always, thank you.